Welcome to Time to Revive, a ministry program designed to equip the saints to share the gospel and make disciples as Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28. Grab a paper and pen and let's get started.
Good morning and welcome to Time to Revive. My name is Angie and I am glad to be able to be here today to bring you another insightful lesson on how to go out and make disciples of all the nations. I'm joined in the studio today by Mark Boyer, our station manager, and Mark Bird, who is with Revive Ohio. Revive Ohio is a big thing. It's right around the corner in April. I'm going to let Mark Boyer tell you how Shine FM is involved in this great event.
Thanks, Angie. Yeah, we're real excited to be partnering with Revive Ohio for Revive Logan County. That's going to be April 13th through the 19th. We've been doing a lot of things to prepare for this. We've been having pastors meetings, community prayer, pastors prayer, luncheons, whatever we can do to communicate what's going on. We've got some other things coming up here. We're going to get some community leaders together for breakfast. We're just excited about what God's going to do, how he's going to use this to unite our church community, unite the church body here in Logan County to go out and share the gospel. And one of the things we're praying for is soft hearts. And that goes two ways. Soft hearts for the lost, for the believers to have soft hearts to go out and share the gospel in the community, but also soft hearts for those in the community that are far from God to receive the gospel that we have to share to them. So we're excited. Again, that's Revive Logan County. That's coming up here in April, April 13th through the 19th.
These lessons about doing evangelism and actually sharing the gospel and making disciples. So what we're doing is we're looking at practical ways. That's really what our purpose for these times are, Angie, to really start to unravel what God has laid out already and taught us through the scriptures.
Now, are you going to kind of break down what an evangelist is? Because when I think about myself, I don't think of myself as an evangelist. But there's some real truth in the fact that we are.
That's very true. I love that because in Romans 10, it says, how will they hear unless there's a preacher sent? And that is actually the Greek word for that is just means to tell or to announce or to publicize. Okay. And it carries with it a connotation of like just reading a newspaper. So you're absolutely right, Angie. An evangelist, we all kind of think that's somebody who stands on a street corner on a soapbox and preaches, right? That's kind of like a street evangelism. That's what comes to our mind when we hear that, because traditionally that's the only thing that we've seen, because typically we haven't seen evangelists on the street other than that.
Yeah, we have a preconceived idea or a stereotype of what an evangelist is.
Right, and so it's gotten a bad rap, honestly, right? But truly, an evangelist is someone that's just telling or sharing good news, like out of a newspaper, right? If you read a good story out of a newspaper, you're just telling a friend, telling a neighbor, telling somebody you're near. And that's really what we want to look at today is Philip had the heart of an evangelist because what was he doing? He was about his daily life, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. As we start to look at what Philip was actually doing, God spoke to him, and he had a choice. He really did. Every one of us has a choice every day because God wants to speak to us every day. That's part of what we want to look at today, is does God really speak to people today? And then if he does, if we indicate that, you know what? This actually could be God trying to tell me something. Mm. If we would embrace that today and then look at how Philip embraced it and then actually just walked it out. So the part of the lessons today and all of these lessons are how do we just practically walk this stuff out?
Yeah. And I love this story in particular, and people will understand why and by the time we're done with this lesson. But I love this lesson because it kind of is an example of what we do with Time to Revive and with Revive Ohio.
Absolutely. And all we're really trying to point out is it doesn't take necessarily Time to Revive, but we have been given a ministry to be a vehicle so that we can just walk this stuff out. Because we read these stories in the Bible, right? But man, that's how do we get it from being a story to being a practical thing that we can apply and walk out in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so let's turn to Acts chapter 8 today, and let's dive into this, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so starting in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' this is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Then he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." We continue on in verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Ashdod. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
What a powerful scripture.
What a powerful scripture. I kind of tried to go slow because there's quite a few verses there, but a lot of stuff happened in there.
Yeah.
And what we want to really dive into and look at today, Angie, in this is Philip's heart. Here is how this was practically walked out. Because again, in the very beginning of this, in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip." Okay, so first the question that we all have was, well, that was nice, but could that happen today? Could an angel speak to us today? I believe that they can, right? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God is the same, then he could speak to us today. So the first thing that we want to do is, looking at verse 26, is that we need to listen to the voice of God. Because if the angel of the Lord spoke, Philip had a choice even. "Hey, Philip, I want you to do this." Philip could have said, "No, thanks, I'm busy. I've got to go to the dentist today." But he didn't, right? So he just listened to the Lord. So the first thing we look at is listening to the voice of God. The second thing, as we look into verse 27, he said, "Go where he tells you to go." And so God's calling him to do a specific task. And he's saying, "Philip, I need you to do this." In verse 27, so he arose and went. It's that simple. It's that obedience. So that's, as we start to look at the heart of Philip, like immediately, as soon as he heard the Lord, he dropped what he was doing. He arose and went. So that's the obedience in the heart of an evangelist that we're looking at here. Now, in verse 29, we need to look at being Spirit-led, right? So in verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, right, "Go near and overtake this chariot." That'd be like in modern day, "Hey, go run down that car." Now that's strange, right? I'm sure that was strange to Philip. But because he is an evangelist, he is sold out to the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. And even though what the Lord asked him to do was strange, he did it. He immediately did it. He didn't question. He didn't argue with God. He just went and did it sheerly out of obedience. In verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Wow, here we look at, all of a sudden, he is obedient. He goes, he runs up there, and what's happening? The guy is actually reading out of the book of Isaiah. And so there's confirmation right there that Philip was obedient to the Lord, and the Lord had set this divine appointment up. That's what we need to look at. He didn't create the appointment. He didn't walk in and just try to make something happen. God actually set the appointment up. And so he just obediently went, and he ran the chariot down. Now, verses 30 to 35, we look at just telling the good news. So he read through the book of Isaiah there, the guy himself, but admittedly saying, I'm not sure that I understand this, and will you come and sit? This is a great example, Angie, of what happens a lot of times as we go out just in sheer obedience to going out to be a representative of this good news, like I talked about a little bit ago. It's just like reading a newspaper and you come across some good news. You just want to share that. You just want to tell that. And so that's where we are today. It's like not about standing on a soapbox on a street corner. It's just telling good news. And so what did the guy do? What did the eunuch say? He said, come and sit with me and tell me about this. And I'll be honest with you, you've heard me say this before. I'm astounded, honestly, at the number of times that these divine appointments are already set up. You walk in and God had it all laid out, had the person prepared, their heart was open to receive, and you just walk into that.
I love it that God's always involved in the details. Always involved in the details.
All the nitty-gritty, right?
Yep.
And so in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. So you notice that he's taking an Old Testament scripture that this Ethiopian was reading, and he just actually turned it into, this is a revelation of the Messiah. And really, that's our purpose of being an evangelist, is just to say how Jesus is the Messiah. He came to save and set the captives free. And so that's really what we're doing as an evangelist, is just taking the message and saying, Jesus is the answer to whatever you're going through, whatever you're reading. It just happened to be that this guy was reading the scripture at the time. So God totally set that up. But you need to know the scripture, right? And so when you go out, just make sure that you allow the scripture to come out of you, because that's how the Holy Spirit will actually reach out to this person, through the word of God, confirming to them. And then you'll notice that what they did is, I guess this is a great picture to me, that what happens almost naturally when you share Christ with someone, their heart is open to receive it. They accept the message. They grasp the gospel and say yes to the Lord. And immediately, this Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized, like immediately. It's kind of like a natural progression in the life of a Christian. So verses 36 to 38 tells about that, how this guy immediately, he gave his heart to the Lord and he wanted to be baptized. And as we walk this out through Time to Revive, as we go out and share the gospel, you'll see that this happens over and over again. People come to know the Lord and they want to be baptized and affirm their faith in the Lord. And so I love it, because at the very end of this thing, the Ethiopian eunuch actually was so blessed when he came up out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. And it says that he went on his way rejoicing. And that's really, you talk about how do you impact a community? Well, if you go out and have many, many of these encounters and people come to know the Lord and they go away rejoicing, it just makes the place a better place to live.
Amen.
And so really what we're trying to do ultimately, and you've heard us say this time and time again, we're trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ. How can our community, how can our city, how can our county, how can we be a better place by making more and more disciples of Jesus Christ? So we want to look at a couple of things here in just practical application of this passage and how Philip was obedient to the scriptures. He was obedient to the word of the Lord. He was obedient to the initial word that the angel gave to him, and he just walked it out. I guess I like to frame it like this, Angie. He just kind of walked through the doors that God opened.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, God set the whole thing up, but still, Philip had to be just purely obedient to that.
Absolutely.
And he just walked through it. And when he did it, it was as natural as breathing for Philip. He didn't have to stand on a street corner and preach. God set it up. And the Ethiopian eunuch actually invited him to sit. So God set that all up.
So we're going to take what we've just learned from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and we are going to pull out some ways to make this a practical application in everything that we do. You're listening to Time to Revive. My name is Angie. I'm glad to be able to be here with you and with my friends, Mark Boyer, who's the station manager, and Mark Bird. He's with Time to Revive and Revive Ohio, and he just gave us this fantastic teaching on Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and we talked about how God just laid out this whole scenario, and Philip was just obedient in the midst of the whole thing. So, Mark, my question is, this is something that can happen to us, and it happens to us if we are aware of it. Can happen all the time, correct?
Absolutely. So my point in all of this really is if you have your spiritual ears open and your spiritual eyes open to hearing the word of the Lord and getting instruction from him and then walking it out, that's what it talks about. So Philip is a great example to us about the heart of an evangelist. It's just simply any person that's committed to sharing the good news. So if God opens up the door, are you willing to just share good news?
I guess we overthink this, though. I mean, a lot of times we overthink about the scenario that it might take for us to witness to somebody. I mean, personally, I think about someone's going to give me all these objections. They're going to be asking me all these questions. And that's just not how it happens, is it?
It's really not. And another thing that comes to my mind sitting here thinking about this, Angie, is someone might say, well, I can't explain the book of Isaiah to somebody. And you know what? You're right. You may not be able to, but can you just explain about your relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell my own testimony and what kind of a change it made for me personally. Is that enough?
I think it is. I think God can use that. And I've seen it many, many, many times over. And you have too. Like, God will use your own story because truthfully, everyone has a story. And if you have a story that Jesus has changed your life, then that's worth sharing, and God will definitely use that. So one of the things we have to look at today, Angie, is trusting the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, I would venture to say, Angie, that there's many people out there today, and they're sitting there listening where they're going, well, I'm not sure that God actually would speak to me.
Right. How does that look? What does that sound like?
Yeah, I mean, it was so obvious. You see here in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Well, I don't know whether or not Philip saw the angel of the Lord, but the fact is that he spoke. But I think what we do many times is we simply push that away and say, well, that couldn't have been the Lord. Many times that thought comes to us because if you've sat there and you've felt compassion on a person, or like maybe you even felt like saying something, but you didn't know what, and then we just brush it off. Well, that can't be. Here's what I want to challenge you to think about doing. So there's only one of three sources of a voice that would come to you. One's going to be God, two's going to be the devil, and three's going to be your flesh, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you have a voice coming to you, telling you to reach out to someone or say something good or nice to someone, that's probably not the devil, and it's
right?
probably not your flesh. So you should probably think about trusting that to be the voice of the Lord. But that's what I'm saying. Many times people just kind of brush that aside. Oh, God really isn't speaking to me. But if you have a desire in your heart to reach out to someone in a nice way.
An encouragement or anything.
Exactly. And even if it's a perfect stranger, that's probably the voice of the Lord. Because the Lord's wanting to use you to just reach out to them. And so as we go out, as we talk about all the time, maybe there's a place or an idea in your mind, a place or a person, or sometimes it's an image or a color that comes to your mind and may make absolutely no sense to you. It may be totally strange. But think about the Lord directing us, because the Lord wants to direct us to people because he wants to share with people. So as you mentioned, Angie, don't overanalyze it. Just go with it. Philip didn't question, as I mentioned earlier. He just went. And then really go with enthusiasm. I mean, I think that's pretty enthusiastic that Philip heard the voice of the Lord and he ran. And the Spirit of the Lord said go. And so could you imagine yourself chasing down a car?
No.
You know, if the Lord said, hey, there's somebody in that car I want you to talk to, how many of us would run after that?
Yeah, probably not. I would think that was my flesh.
We would think that's pretty strange, right?
Right.
But I will tell you, I know examples, and we have some examples on video on our website that will show you examples of us chasing down cars, not necessarily on foot, but we've done it in the car. And many times it's so funny, it happens that it was a divine thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do that or we tell people chase down every car you pass. No, it's only in certain circumstances where they felt a real unction of the Lord to do such. And it was very fruitful, just like Philip understood there too. But God is going to do great things with you, through you, if you just love, listen, discern, and respond. So what we saw here Philip doing is we saw Philip responding. The Spirit spoke to him, and he just responded. So Philip ran, and he was willing to do what it took to catch the chariot. Mm. I think that's key. So it was like, go tell the Ethiopian over there, and by the way, you better hurry. It's pulling away. So he actually had to run out. Ask and watch for confirmation, Angie.
This is pretty important stuff.
This is, I think, maybe the most important piece. Because think about just our human tendency and how strange that might be if the Lord directs you to do something that doesn't really make any sense to you or might even sound strange. I'm sure that when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, run after that chariot, that was probably something he didn't do very often. But he responded. And so ask for confirmation. The whole time, you guys know that what we teach you to do is love, listen, discern, and respond. So if you're trying to discern the whole time, you're praying to God and asking him, it's perfectly okay to ask for confirmations because he will confirm. So constantly be asking the Holy Spirit for direction and watch for signs that he'll give you. He will confirm and redirect you as you go. And let me explain for just a second what that might look like. He might send you to a park. This actually happened to us in Texas. He might send you to a park, but then actually end up leading you to someone walking down the road across the street from the park. So God gets you in the vicinity. And now what happened in the example in Texas is we went to a park and there was someone across the street that God wanted us to talk to. We ended up going and talking to that person across the street. His mother had just came to know the Lord. So we recommitted them right at that point in what we were doing in mission. And then they turned and helped us go back into the park and spread out and share the gospel. And we ended up sharing the gospel with several other people in that park. So you don't really know exactly what God has in mind until you start to just walk it out.
Yeah, sometimes it's all about putting that foot in the water, so to speak, with the way that Joshua had with the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
The Levites had to put their feet in the water first.
Right.
So sometimes it's the step.
It is the step of faith. That's what God's looking for. And again, we're reminding everybody, discern, 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 right? So ask questions. As Philip did, it's just a great way to discern someone's openness to the gospel. And I say this a lot too. I like to ask open-ended questions, very simple, but just really open-ended questions to where the person that you're encountering can understand what you're trying to get at. And I'll ask something like, you know, how can I pray for you? Of course, we teach you how to do that. How can I pray for you? And then as you go starting to walk through these scriptures, have you read these verses before? Is this something new? Is this the first time you've ever heard this gospel? What does that mean to you? What does that verse say to you? What do these last couple of verses say to you that we just read? Do you believe what this says? Just simple little engaging questions, but they're open-ended because we're loving on them first, and then we're listening. And in order to discern, you need to hear something, right? And so we're always praying for discernment on the team before we go out, during the encounter. We're always open to God's leading. And we just simply ask a lot of times, Lord, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to hear today that could help this person?
So I want to take a quick step back to the thing about discernment. And one of the things that kind of came to my mind that maybe might be good to discuss is that whenever you go out in teams, you are in a team. So if you feel like you need to do something, you can actually check with other members of your team who also have a mind for discernment and then see if that's really what you should be doing. I would think that in a team of four, you would know if that's a good or a bad thing to do.
Absolutely. It's so critical. That's why we have the team members like that. And Angie, we also encourage the teams to what we call debrief after every encounter so that we say, hey, what went good, what went bad, or maybe what went ugly during that encounter, so that we're learning and growing off of one another and we're bringing cohesiveness to our team as same. But before the encounter, we're praying together, we're asking God, first of all, and then we're bouncing this off of one another. A lot of times we'll say, did anybody hear anything? Did anybody see anything? Did anybody sense a direction that the Lord is sending us to? And so we do that quite a bit. And some of the miraculous things that happen when you go out on the streets to share the gospel is happening right in your team, right in the vehicle. Some of the most awesome times have been amongst your team because God might be doing something. I've literally had people get prayed for right in amongst the team. Maybe they had a fight yesterday or maybe even this morning or what have you, something real recent that happened to them and they needed prayer. Again, but you may be on a team of total strangers. You may not be comfortable, but as you begin to express and talk about it and pray about it, things happen right there. So you never know how the Lord's going to use the group that day.
So I guess what I'm getting from you to kind of wrap it all up is that there's a lot of things to consider and to be aware of, but the bottom line is that God pretty much takes care of the details.
Amen. He's doing the leading. He's doing the directing. We just have to be obedient.
Obedient. God, take that first step. So that is how we're going to take some time today to really put this into practice. Again, it's all based on Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, because Philip was a great example of the heart of an evangelist. And you and I, my friends, we are all called to be evangelists and to share the good news with folks around us. Really great information, which you can also read one more time on our website under the Time to Revive page.
Thank you for listening to Time to Revive, brought to you by Revive Ohio. To listen to this teaching again, visit shinefmohio.com under the Ministry tab. Join us again next Wednesday at 9 for another edition of Time to Revive.